Accepting he's popping over there. Hey, listen, I know it was on before a little bit earlier. We're doing another video now because I have some content while I get out. We're not going to be around for the 4th of July. I'm actually going to be going somewhere in the afternoon. I'll be working up till 2 o'clock, and I have a party to go to, believe it or not. The people who know me, that I have this crazy work ethic. But let's talk about two things. One, we're going to discuss. There was a post earlier that I posted from a guy who wrote into me, and I'm not going to mention his name because I didn't tag him in the post, where we discussed, he discussed pulling over a car, having a dog indicate on a locked box in the rear of a truck, and his option was that he decided to go for a search warrant because the box was locked. Now, listen, if you want to go for a search warrant and you feel it's a safer route, like, by all means, go ahead. Good job. You know, if you guys are getting access to the search warrants relatively easy, you know, okay. Like, we spoke with we did a video yesterday where we spoke with a guy on the phone who's an investigator. He gets intel on cars. He stops the cars and then, you know, he has to get a search warrant, but they have like an AP signed to them where they can just give that AP a call and get telephonics relatively simple. What the courts really don't want you doing is towing cars back and then applying for search warrants. It says that explicitly in State versus William Witt. If you read the whole thing in Witt, it says, we don't want you doing that. We don't like the idea that you're taking somebody's personal property away to do a search of a car. You have that, you have probable cause, search it out there. So, you know, just be careful what you're doing. Good job if you want to go for a warrant, you know, but may not be necessary. I'm not knocking the job at all. I just want people to get thrown off by it, that they need to go for search warrants when something has a locked box inside of it. And this has been asked by me before from a few different people, and this is the case I provided to them. Those cases have gone forward, and there's been no issue with them. Just like if we had a search warrant, you got to understand something. When you have probable cause and you have a vehicle and there's exigent circumstances because the vehicle by itself contains the exigency, it's the same as having a warrant. It's the same thing. There's just because somebody's locked something up or created some kind of trap or some kind of obstacle to prevent you from getting to find the proceeds of the probable cause doesn't mean that you have to stop and get a warrant because they put a padlock on it. Okay. So let me read U.S. versus Ross. I highlighted some notes out of my book. And the question in the book is, when an officer has probable cause to believe that a lawfully stopped motor vehicle contains contraband concealed somewhere within it, may the officer conduct a probing search of the entire vehicle, including closed compartments, packages, and containers within the vehicle whose contents are not in plain view? Now, again, we're talking about probable cause versus a consent search. But a consent search, you're going to need to ask specifically for locked compartments and containers. You're going to have to say, obviously, unless you find a trap and you can associate it with something else, but you have to know the difference between the two. We're talking about probable cause on a motor vehicle stop. Just because you run into something that is locked or some kind of obstruction that's not allowing you to find a product of the PC, what you're detecting or your dog's detecting, doesn't mean you have to stop there. So here's what it says. The scope of a warrantless search of a lawfully stopped vehicle based on probable cause is no narrower and no broader than the scope of a search that could be authorized by a search warrant. If probable cause justifies the search of a lawfully stopped motor vehicle, it justifies the search of every part of the vehicle and its contents that may conceal the object of the search. This rule applies equally to all compartments, containers, and packages found within the vehicle in which the search may be found. I'm sorry, in which the object of the search may be found. You could read this right out of State versus Raw. I'm sorry, U.S. versus Raw Supreme Court case. I'll attach it to this. You guys can use it. You can read through it. I'm just highlighting some of the better parts of it. And then finding the search and seizure constitutionally valid, the United States Supreme Court held that once police have probable cause to believe a lawfully stopped vehicle contains contraband, they may conduct a search of the vehicle that is as thorough as a magistrate could authorize in a search warrant. I'm sorry, I've been up since 5:30. And then in the back here, it says the scope of the warrantless search of a lawfully stopped motor vehicle based on probable cause is no narrower or no broader than the scope of a search. We got to that already. Moreover, the practical considerations that justify a warrantless search of an automobile continue to apply until the entire search of the automobile and its contents have been completed. The scope of the search contemplated by the automobile exception is not defined by the nature of the container in which the contraband is secreted. Rather, it is defined by the object of the search and the places in which there is probable cause to believe that it may be found. Just as probable cause to believe that a stolen lawnmower may be found in a garage will not support a warrant to search an upstairs bedroom. Probable cause to believe that undocumented aliens are being transported in a van will not justify a warrant to search a suitcase. Probable cause to believe that a container placed in the trunk of a taxi contains contraband does not justify a search of the entire cab. Accordingly, when probable cause justifies the search of a lawfully stopped vehicle, it justifies the search of every part of the vehicle and its contents that may conceal the object of the search. So good stuff there. I don't want to be boring people with it, but I'll post U.S. versus Ross. You guys can read it. So technically, you could have popped that trunk yesterday. That lockbox on it without the warrant. And I don't think you had a problem with that at all. But listen, when in doubt, do that. I have a question that's going to come in. It kind of ties into this. Let's make the phone call now. All right. So he's waiting for our call. Let's do that.
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up, man? How are you?
What's up?
All right. No names, no agencies. Fire away with your question.
All right. Can you hear me all right on speaker?
Yeah, man.
All right. So basically, if you stop a car, you have the odor of marijuana. You ask for consent. They deny. But you're obviously going to search it anyway. Searching the car, you come up with negative results on anything, and you don't have the odor emanating from the trunk at all. But, I mean, I'm obviously always curious to get in the trunk. But at that point, you know, they already denied consent, and you searched the whole car already, not the trunk yet, and just where do you go from there? Is there any other options of getting in the trunk at that point?
Yeah, there's two other.
Been in the situation before, so.
Yeah, there's two other options. First one is call a canine unit.
That's what I was curious about. I was curious, you know, if I already have the odor, I wasn't sure if, you know, that would come up with confusion in the court with calling a canine when you already smelled it or how that would work.
It's kind of interesting how it, like that, you know, the dog's going to indicate. They still want to see that.
That's exactly what I was wondering. Like, you know, it's going to indicate.
Yeah, yeah.
So
like, that's the one. That's the connection that they're looking for you to get. So get the dog. Let the dog indicate, and the whole car is yours. You know.
Oh, okay.
And then if you can't get your hands on a dog, maybe it is time to go into the warrant process. You're going to want to call an AP. If you're the affiant, you're going to be writing the affidavit to apply for the search warrant. You're going to want to call the AP. Let them know what you got and tell them you want to apply for a search warrant for the trunk. And this is why. And they should be able to grant that to you. They may require a dog hit, but maybe they'll authorize you to impound the car and hold it as a preserve it as a crime scene until you get a warrant because there wasn't a dog available.
Exactly. And what I was thinking is maybe if the canine's not available, I kind of, not that it's an issue or anything, but whenever I stop cars and I have the odor, I kind of instantly jump on searching the car and ask for consent. And I think it would kind of help the warrant procedure if I kind of ask a few questions and maybe get conflicting stories and something like that. That'll help the warrant procedure in the end if I end up not getting the consent.
I mean, dude, you have probable cause. If you're telling me you get an odor, your probable cause, you know, if you didn't have probable cause and you just had RAS and you were going to apply for it with that, they're probably going to still want to see a dog, but you could probably impound the car on RAS grounds. That's where you probably want to build up more of your case.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I was just confused on the whole canine one. You already have the odor. Honestly, I've never been in this situation before because, like you said, usually everybody just gives you the consent. But I was thinking the other day, I was like, wow, if I come in this situation, I'm really not sure if I'm okay with the canine at this point. But
yeah,
that clears up everything.
Yeah. If your canine handler is showing up and they're saying something like, oh, it's a residual hit. Like, it's an indication. Just tell them, like, dude, did the dog give a positive identification or not? I don't need to hear about residual and canine terms. Let's speak English for the camera and for the court system. So we don't have to try to clarify this later on. And again, dude, let's not think 20 miles down the road on, like, how you want to build your case rock solid. But, you know, who knows? Maybe they'll find some kind of, like, hole in your case. But, dude, I got to tell you, this is not me trying to brag. And this is legitimate. You could do the research on it. Literally have never gone to trial hundreds and hundreds of drug arrests have never gone to trial. None of this stuff that we're prepared because you're prepared, dude. You know where to go next. You know what you have to do. You know what you have to build. You're preparing yourself to win. You're putting yourself in a position to win. Hence the term of the company or status, whatever the hell you want to call it. But dude, as long as you know how to write and do things, like, you can't lose.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And on top of it, I mean, that's, you know, even though I already have the smell, I want to get in the trunk, me calling for the canine. If the court has a problem, like you said before, that's just me trying to play it safe.
Yeah.
Let's go for the search.
Hey, listen, why did you call the canine? You have the odor of marijuana. Yo, you know what? I didn't know if it extended into the trunk. I want to protect their rights. And again, you just always want to pitch that you're protecting their rights. And dude, frankly, it's what you're supposed to do. I had one guy one time criticize me and said that I taught deception within the Constitution. And like, it was the silliest goddamn thing that somebody's ever said. Like, I teach deception within the Constitution. Like, this is what the law wants you to do. We're following the rules. We're playing fair. But yet it's deceptive practices. I have no idea this was a chief of a police department that was never a cop. He was just a dude who was a good test taker or knew people. That's all it came down to. So he just didn't understand what we were trying to do because he never was engaged. And that's the big struggle between administrations and proactive guys is they just don't get what they're doing. So.
Yep. I completely understand.
All right, dude. Nice talking to you.
Yeah, Dennis, I appreciate it. Thanks for clearing everything up like always.
You got it, brother. See you later. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Thanks, guys. Happy 4th of July. And if you need something, you want to do one of these phone calls with us, if you have questions, you can just reach out and we'll answer them. Or I'll answer them. See you guys later.